say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. And defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
make his Christ like a lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. This is the victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia.
Taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day by the same Spirit to have a right understanding of all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
readings of Holy Scripture for this, the day of Pentecost, the Old Testament reading from the 11th chapter of Genesis. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words, and as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, they all have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." And so the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. And therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Second reading from the Acts of the Apostles, the second chapter. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Jesus Christ according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has no claim on me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church,
I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Peace be yours from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends in Jesus Christ, on this day of Pentecost that we commemorate and celebrate, it must have been quite a day that day. It hadn't even been, I suppose, 2 months since our Lord Jesus rose from the grave. And they had seen our Lord on a number of the apostles, the disciples too, had seen our Lord on a number of occasions. And then, some 10 days before this event, they saw him ascend marvelously into heaven. And then comes the day of Pentecost, and all the disciples were gathered together, as St. Luke reports in the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. They were all gathered together, and there was a sound like a mighty rushing wind that filled the place where they were, and tongues as of fire appeared on their heads, and they began speaking in other languages, so that those from all the various parts that had gathered there at that time of the feast, they could hear in their own languages the mighty works of God. It must have been something to behold, to be a part of. And of course, in it all, as some were mocking, the Apostle Peter, standing with, and you might say before, the other apostles too, he stands and he says, "No, we're not drunk, as some of you suppose. But what's going on right here," he said, "it's a fulfillment of the prophecy made by the prophet Joel." "And in the last days it shall be," declares God, "that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." And Peter goes on to speak about wonders and signs, and he concludes with these words, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And those are the words this morning on this day of Pentecost. I want us to turn our attention to just those words, beginning with these, "And it shall come to pass." Well, it's true. The prophecy that the prophet Joel had, by inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, had spoken hundreds of years before, it did come to pass in that day. Peter said it. This, what you see, it's the prophecy of Joel coming to pass right here. Now, you and I, we might want to put a period on that. But not so fast. Yes, the prophecy came to pass there, in their speaking, in their hearing, but instead of a period, perhaps we should put what I think is called, what, an ellipsis. Instead of dot, 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 dot. Because the Holy Spirit didn't just simply go forth, I submit to you, on that particular day, and then all was done. But the Holy Spirit goes forth. Yeah, he went forth on that day. And he went forth the next day, I suppose you could say too. And the day following, and the week following, and the year following. And as we read in the book of Acts early on, "And the word of the Lord increased as more and more souls were added to the church." Well, how were they added, do you suppose? It was as the Holy Spirit went forth, and through the gospel called more and more people. And even up until the end of the age, the Holy Spirit, I contend, I submit to you, does go forth doing his work. Yeah, the work of the Holy Spirit, you can say, began there at the day of Pentecost, but certainly, in a sense, it continues day by day and week by week and month by month and year by year onward. It continues. It was a wonder. No doubt about it. It was a wonder what they heard there. That sound of the mighty rushing wind, the tongues as of fire appearing upon their heads. These people who had taken no online language acquisition class, from Galilee, speaking in all of these different languages, a wonder. To be sure, it meant to be a wonder. But underneath it, if you will, or even on top of it, if you will, there was another wonder going on too. You could even call it, in a sense, a higher wonder. For the Holy Spirit began to work through the proclamation of the completed work of the Messiah, the completed work of Jesus Christ, now being proclaimed there in that place and soon throughout the world. The Holy Spirit goes forth to make the treasure known. Martin Luther, as he so often put it well, he put it well in this case too. In the large catechism, many familiar with the small catechism of Martin Luther, in the large catechism of Martin Luther, here's how he puts it. When he describes the work of the Holy Spirit, he says, "For neither you nor I could ever know anything of Christ or believe on him and obtain him for our Lord unless it were offered to us and granted to our hearts by the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel." The work is done and accomplished. Jesus paid for your sins, sinners. And I say that in full earnest, sinners. And he paid for mine too, a sinner just like you. It's done. The work is completed. Luther continues, "For Christ has acquired and gained the treasure for us by his suffering, death, resurrection, etc." But note, if the work remained concealed so that no one knew of it, then it would be in vain and lost. That this treasure, therefore, might not lie buried, but be appropriated and enjoyed, God has caused the word to go forth and be proclaimed, in which he gives the Holy Spirit to bring this treasure home and appropriate it to you and to me. See the work of the Spirit going forth, making this treasure that Jesus has accomplished for us, making it known to us that it might be appropriated to you and me through faith in the atoning work of Jesus Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit. And this work and the way that he operates it won't change. Did you hear how Martin Luther here was teaching us, drawn from the scripture, that the Holy Spirit operates through these means? We talked of this a few weeks ago, those who were there a few weeks ago when we spoke of it. The Holy Spirit operates through these means, chief among them the Word of God. That's what Martin Luther here was saying, through the gospel. And yes, through other means as well, namely the holy sacraments. The Holy Spirit operating through them, and that won't change. I'm going to quote from another place in our Book of Concord, our Lutheran confessions, this time the Augsburg Confession. Here's what we believe and teach and confess. It's what the Bible teaches. Through the word and sacraments, as through instruments, the Holy Spirit is given, who works faith where and when it pleases God in them that hear the gospel. The Holy Spirit works faith where and when it pleases him. You and I don't have control over that, but where and when it pleases God, through the means he works. We call them the means of grace, those things whereby God gives to you his shining, loving, merciful grace. And that was true in those very days. Yeah, there was a sound of mighty rushing wind. There were tongues as of fire. There were people speaking in languages they never studied before. And yet there it was coming out, the language of the Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those from Mesopotamia and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia. But that's not what called 3,000 people into the church that day. Simply wonders or signs, what do you suppose was it? It was the message preached. And so Peter preached. And so others were telling the wonders of God. And 3,000 that day added to the church. Let's just say through the preaching of the word and through baptism that day and in others in days to come. It's how the Holy Spirit worked then. It's how he would work in the early church. It's how he would work in the medieval church. And in the time of the Reformation and beyond, even up to this moment, it's how the Holy Spirit works and how he will work until this world is brought to its close. So if you want to know where the Holy Spirit is at work, then don't look for tongues as of fire nowadays. Don't look for people speaking in unintelligible sounds. If there's a mighty rushing wind in your church, the air conditioning is probably too high. If you want to know where the Holy Spirit is at work, look for where the Word of God is preached in the sacrament in its truth and purity, and where the sacraments are administered according to Jesus' institution. If you want to know where the Word of God, where the Spirit is, it's where the Word of God is preached. It's where it's read. It's where it's taught. There will the Holy Spirit be active. If you want to know where the Holy Spirit is at work, it's where a proud new father and mother, they're bringing their little baby up to the baptismal font. And there the water is, blessed water is poured on him three times in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And there the Holy Spirit is at work. If you want to know where the Holy Spirit is at work, just look around and see. It's where older folks and younger too, maybe with our aches and our pains, we hobble forward and we receive in the fellowship of this altar the Lord's body and blood in Holy Communion. There is where the Holy Spirit is at work through his means of grace. Don't look for other signs. "And it shall come to pass," said Peter, "that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What about that "everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord"? Sounds universal, doesn't it? As someone has noted, it's the all flesh. In Peter's phrase, Joel's phrase, "and I shall pour out my spirit on all flesh." The same person described it in this way. I think this is rather beautiful. He said, "Such expressions of universality are like blank spaces in mighty bank drafts, which are signed by the Lord and into which he invites us to write our own name by faith." I think that's well put. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. There is a universality to it. That's why we simply cannot agree with our staunch Calvinist friends who would insist that the Lord God has chosen some for condemnation, an eternal damnation. In the face of such a passage as this, how could you argue that? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yeah, there is a universality to it, but there's also a personal aspect to it as well. Whoever, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. And some might look to the left and look to the right and say, "I can see him and I can see her, but not me." You know where I've been? You know what I've done? Well, I ask you, do you know what he's done? Jesus Christ. Do you know that he's paid for it, whatever it's been? Do you hear what this word says? Everyone, that means you, who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. "And it shall come to pass," says Peter, quoting Joel, "that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What about that calling upon the name? What does that mean? Well, here, I would say, begin with what it's like when a child calls upon a parent for help. He calls out for help. He's not bargaining with him generally, is he? I need your help because I can't do it. To call upon the name of the Lord is to call him to our aid. And this only can we do by the help of the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. It's to believe that Jesus Christ died for me and has paid for my sin. And I call upon God for help, for aid, for no one can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. To call upon his name is to know and trust that the peace that Jesus leaves and the peace that Jesus gives is mine. Mine. And you knowing it, that it's yours. To call upon his name is to expect from the Lord what he has promised and what he promises still. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The same writer I noted before said, here we meet the great verb, shall be saved. In it, he says, lies a sense of great mortal danger. And that's true. In it, he says, lies the rescue from such danger. And that's true. Shall be saved. In it, he says, lies the blessed power that continues to keep in safety forever. And that too is true. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The work of the Holy Spirit, my friends, then and still, today we thank God for it. We thank God for the day of Pentecost and for the Spirit's ongoing work. We thank God for his work through his chosen means, the word read and preached, the blessed sacraments. We thank God for the Spirit's ongoing work through his chosen means in the lives of men and women and children, just like you and me. A blessed day of Pentecost to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Gracious Lord, your Spirit fills the world and gladdens your church with the remembrance of all that our Lord Jesus Christ has spoken. Comfort us with divine peace, and do not let our hearts be troubled or afraid. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, let your Spirit be at work through all pastors of the thousands of congregations of a synod as they faithfully proclaim your word and administer your sacraments. Through the word of your Spirit, teach us all things that you would have us know and bring to our remembrance all that your Son has said to us. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, bless all translators of the Holy Scriptures that every nation may hear the good news of the mighty works of God in their own language. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord of might, preserve your people from their enemies, bring peace to the nations, prosper the cause of life, Bless our leaders, especially our president and governor, our Congress and legislature, and all judges and magistrates. Give them a relentless pursuit of just laws for the common good of all, with a heart of mercy for the weak and the vulnerable. Lord, in your mercy. Light of this dark world, you have sent the Holy Spirit to your church as the comforter. Soothe, then, the words and wounds of your people. According to your will, bring restoration to broken families, heal the sick, uplift the depressed, provide for the poor, uphold the forgotten, and answer the prayers of all who call out to you for aid, including Jack and Jan and Katrina, Fran and Bart. Lord, in your mercy. O God, by your Holy Spirit, convict us of sin, of righteousness in Christ, and of the judgments of your holy word. Sanctify our hearts by the forgiveness of our sins, that clothed with Christ's righteousness, we will be fit partakers of Christ's holy body and precious blood. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord of rest, you know the struggles of your people and have promised rest from our labors and peace at last. Give comfort to those who mourn, especially to the family and the friends of our brother Guy Takamatsu, whose sufferings are over, whose fullness of life is only begun. Raise up our hearts with the promise of the resurrection and the blessed reunion, when we by grace will stand at your right hand, enjoying your perfect peace forever. Lord, in your mercy. And Almighty Father, with your Son, Jesus Christ, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts through your word to rule and to govern us according to your will. Comfort us in every temptation and misfortune, and defend us against every error, that we may continue steadfast in faith, increase in love and good works, and trusting firmly in your grace, obtain eternal salvation through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and who reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who ascended above the heavens and sitting at your right hand poured out on this day the promised Holy Spirit on his chosen disciples. For all this, the whole earth rejoices with overwhelming joy. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 God, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you've had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. And gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you've given us pardon and peace in the sacrament. We ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.